Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Tina Horn, and this is Interrobang. Interrobang is the bonus segment of my Wire People Into That podcast. Follow at Tina Horn Sass or at Tina Horn's Ass, if you're nasty, on Twitter and Instagram. Visit wirepeopleintothat.com. Support my show and get extra shit at patreon.com/TinaHorn. That's patreon.com/TinaHorn.
Okay, can I say something?
Yeah.
This recording device that you have is a prop that I have used in many porn scenes. Never knew what it was for.
Oh.
But it has been anytime we need a sci-fi futuristic device.
I already laughed at the mic when I fucked it up.
No, it's okay.
It's really hilarious to see it being put to its actual use.
I mean, I think that you could argue that its actual use also is as a prop for any sci-fi thingy.
Sci-fi porn
prop. You know, Lorelai, symbols only have the meaning that we give them.
Yes. That we agree on.
That we all agree on together.
And if you want to really get into some shit, we don't agree ever on the meaning of symbols ever.
I do want to get into that shit.
Jesus Christ. It is like, that is such a thing. It's hard to communicate.
We definitely don't all agree on the symbolic meaning of Jesus Christ.
Or of chair.
Of chair? Oh, chair, right. The chairness of a chair.
Yeah.
Oh, you're singing my song. You know that, right?
Yeah. So let's start with that framing.
Okay, so semiotics, porn.
Motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
It is some shit.
Lorelai, I'm so glad that you are on my podcast.
Me too.
Welcome. No, go ahead.
I feel that we podcast daily into space. So it's amazing that we're recording.
It is
one of these conversations.
It is for posterity.
For posterity.
I mean, there's probably little devices like this that are being used by, like, space aliens to, like, pick up on our, like, cosmic transmissions of the kinds of things that we usually talk about.
Or the NSA has turned all of our cell phones into recording devices, you know, so there's that, too.
By the way, a digital security expert that I had the pleasure of having a meeting with at work this week, I was like, they were asking a bunch of like questions about servers, and I was like, Signal, like, mm-hmm. Is that really encrypted? Like, the man can't see like what we're saying about the revolution. And he was like,
I know. I'm so happy about it.
I also, you know, people were like, download signal. And I was like, is that like so different from iMessage? Like, can't the NSA, like, can't the space aliens like see what I'm saying on like WhatsApp or like in my Twitter DMs? Like, if they want to, can't they see it all? You know, like, do I really need that? And then you were like, you need to download Signal. And I was like, okay.
I'm really glad that my influence is real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Lorelai, your influence is very real, in my life and the lives of many. You're one of my oldest hoe friends.
Whoa, really?
I mean, I think so.
I mean, you were hoeing way before we met, so you gotta have some other hoe friends you've known for longer.
That's, I mean, yes, but you...
But currently in your life,
you've really stuck around.
I do. God, I do. I really fucking stick around. 17 years, man.
17 years of what, Lorelai?
17 years of Hoenn.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you beat me to the punch. I was going to ask, like, who are you? Why are you here? What are you doing here?
Yeah, I have been Hoenn since I was just old enough to hoe.
Mm-hmm.
Legally and illegally.
Sure.
But.
Yeah, it's all totally above board.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's complicated, man.
It is. But. So what? So yeah, you also were Hoenn since long before.
Long before we met. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I met you in like my second decade almost of hoeing. It had almost been a decade of hoeing when I met you.
Well, good thing I came along.
Yeah, not quite. But whatever. Once you're in counting things in decades, you're like rounding up. You're like,
oh yeah,
those.
Oh, I've definitely been saying that I've been a sex worker for a decade since I had been a sex worker for 7 years.
Yeah.
And now it actually has been a decade and I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But what is it? What is a decade? What is a word?
What is a symbol?
What is the decadeness of...
What are we communicating? What is time?
Is time a social construct?
Oh my God.
I mean, it is a social construct.
But are we measuring it the same way?
I'm certainly not measuring it the same way as other people.
Oh my God. We've been talking for like 5 minutes and not even. This is why every time.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, this is why you had to come over so early on a Saturday.
I know. We needed 2 hours of pre-podcast
podcast
conversation.
So we met in a dungeon.
We did.
In the East Bay.
Yes.
In the halcyon days of the mid-aughts.
Mid-aughts. Mid-aughts, yeah.
Yeah. Which is always talking about, when you talk about the dungeon as like a physical place where you met someone, I'm always like, yeah, but it was like above the ground. Like we didn't like meet in like a dank dungeon. You know,
we were not in a basement dungeon. We were in an upstairs dungeon.
The locker room was in the basement.
Oh yeah, the locker room. My God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was always very cold.
I know. That's why everybody just changed in the kitchen.
Yeah. Which was really fun.
Yeah.
Changing in the kitchen was fun.
It was important.
Totally important.
Important work. What I think is interesting about the time that we met is that it was just after Obama took office.
That's right.
And when Obama took office, he did a couple things like dismantle the obscenity task force, the obscenity prosecution task force that Bush had created. So it was not exactly what we were doing was still criminalized. But there were other elements of adult work that were slightly less dangerous in the Obama era. And so I don't know. It's interesting to think about that now. Interesting is the wrong word entirely. It is scary.
It's scary.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, these are.
Oh, and let's not pretend that the Obama years were like, you know, great times.
I mean, the recession.
To be a hoe.
Which was not Obama's fault, but that Obama inherited, defined like my sex work trajectory in the sense that, like, for the first year or so, people that I knew were starting to be affected by the recession. And I was like, good thing I got into this recession-proof line of work.
Right.
And then...
Of course, not really.
And then not really.
But perhaps more so than a lot of other jobs. But I think the biggest... And I also think... Well, one thing I think is that my fear is greater because I am... Because in the beginning days of hoeing, it was like, here's a way that I can make money and there are tons of risks and maybe I'll get arrested, but I'm not scared because I need that money. And also my aversion to risk is much lower because I am a teenager.
Right.
And things like advertising online.
Right.
Which I did so many times without thinking. You know, that is much scarier prospect to me now.
Yeah. Well, the internet grew up a lot. I mean, not like it matured. It just changed.
Yeah.
It took its, it's taken its course in terms of saturation.
Yeah. Well, and in the beginning of my career, you know, I've told you this many times that the ads that I answered were in a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, this is not what we came here to talk about.
I mean, we came here to talk about it all. And I'm like seeing all of these like different dimensions of like things that we could talk about, and we've already. I need to focus. Okay, Lorelai.
Yes.
Tell the people what you do.
Oh, Lord. Wait. Okay. Well, make pornography. Is that where we're going?
Lorelai yeah. makes pornography.
Okay.
Lorelai is a porn director.
Yes. I am not so much a director these days. I have directed a number of times, and I am mostly a performer. That's most of what I've done.
A legendary Hall of Famer performer. One for the books.
I am, let's just say I am a goth table performer.
Uh-huh.
So we have this shorthand at the AVNs where we call ourselves the goth table. Because most of the work that I've done has been with the freaks and geeks, I guess.
Yeah.
And even the mainstream work that I've done, and isn't it funny when you're in porn, there's a mainstream, but that is in porn, we use mainstream both to mean the non-adult film industry and also to mean, the quote unquote vanilla porn right. industry.
Right, right.
Yeah, and so anyway, when I performed, I've also performed in lots of vanilla pornography and been bored.
Were you bored?
Sometimes I was really bored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you're bored at your job. There's worse things to be at a job than bored.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think is, why do you think that you have been performing in porn for so long?
That there's not a single answer to that question.
Yeah.
And a big thing that is part of my like sort of life's project in terms of talking about sex work is being able to talk about the complexity of why.
Mm.
And that there are lots of times that I have done this work when I didn't want to, and you know, this concept of want is so complicated. Want to is such a complicated thing, right? Because there's the times when you don't want to because you're just tired or you're bored or you have your period or you had a fight with your partner or whatever.
Yeah.
Or your parents are mad at you not speaking to you because you've made pornography, and that makes it really hard to make more pornography. Or, right, so these are like escalating levels of not want to.
Yeah.
Or you're fucking broke.
Yeah.
And you feel really a lot not like being naked or being touched. And you got to go to work.
Yeah.
And you got to pay rent. And I have experienced each of those levels of not want to. While simultaneously, I've had days when I have felt so lucky to be able to go in and make something that I consider art.
I mean, I consider it art too. And I also just want to interject and say that nothing about what you just said about being bored or not wanting to go to work is unique to porn, in my opinion. Yeah. And I think so much of the objections that people have to porn is the perception that the fact that you're having sex changes.
But I do want to interject and I want to complicate that a little bit, because I think that we make this argument a lot that the we need labor protections because this is labor. And in many ways, the things that are that can be bad about working in the adult industry are very similar to things that other people experience and thus in other jobs. And thus the solution is to make this not stigmatized and to make it not criminalized. And that will protect us in the same way that other workers are protected because their jobs are in many ways similar to other jobs. However, I really also think that sex work is in many ways different from other kinds of work because we live in a culture where sex is treated really differently from other things that we do with our bodies. And so when you are performing sexual labor, you are also dealing with all these other levels, including the difficulty of separating intimacy from sex, which
or self-worth
the success from sexiness
or your success in or work.
Also that this is a specifically while sex workers are not all women, sex work is often viewed as female labor in a way, feminized labor is the word that I'm looking for. And
which is always devalued.
Devalued, but also the, if you are a sex worker who is performing any kind of bottoming role, that is seen as devaluing to you as a human.
Right.
So while it's important to recognize the ways that sex work is the same as other work, it's also really important to recognize the ways that it's different while we're trying to work out all this shit.
I know that we could really, really talk about that for a long time.
I know.
And I'm really, really glad that you just said what you said by way of talking about what it is that you do.
I forgot where this started.
That's fine. That's not you forget away. It's not your responsibility.
Story of my life.
I'm I think steering this ship. And we're going to talk about that again on this show.
A million times, I'm sure.
A million times. I want to just talk about a couple more things about you, which is that I just want to talk about your writing for a second so that people know that you are also a writer, a published writer, a dedicated writer, a talented writer.
I am. I do have a nomination for Best Screenplay. Thank you, AVN.
Oh, nice. which is the Oscars of porn, by the way.
Which is the Oscars of porn.
This ship is lonely. Lovers are cold on the phone. The mood out in the hall ain't fantastic. Air feels static, not dramatic.
So lightning round. Why are people into splashing? So first of all, can you, for the people playing along at home, can you define splashing?
Splashing is a fetish that uses lots of different things, usually like when wet and messy is another
wet and messy
thing, to another phrase that is often used to describe splashing. So it could be paint. Water is one of those borderline things, and food is a big thing that people like and like to put food on themselves, put food on each other,
throw food through the air.
Splashing, but you would not necessarily say that you were splashing if you were like fucking someone with a zucchini, for example. Right. So,
but what if you smashed the zucchini?
If you smashed the zucchini, I would say that goes into splashing. Yes.
That's so interesting. It has something to do with
the wetness. I mean, because look, I do not claim to speak for everyone who's into splashing.
No one does.
And I certainly do not know what motivates anyone else's sexuality but my own.
Sure.
However, I will say that there is something viscerally exciting about wetness and messiness, and especially with things, with food specifically, there is this element of waste, of wasting food, of not just of waste, but of the luxury of that waste.
Right, it's decadent.
It is fucking decadent. And as someone who grew up on and off of food stamps and ate a lot of fucking ramen and macaroni as a child, there is something so thrilling about pouring a gallon of milk on someone. And cupcakes. I mean, my specific fetish is really about like frosting and whipped cream and things that are dessert oriented, and that has to do with the luxury element of it as well. And also it's visual, you know.
So yeah, when you told me that you might want to talk about splashing, I instantly thought about the photo shoot that we did for the Women's Health Clinic fundraiser, where, you know, given the opportunity to make the imagery that you wanted to make for a calendar, you immediately were like, oh, I just want to be covered in candy.
Yeah.
And also, and whipped cream and frosting and cupcakes. And and we did that, and it was really fun. Although it is hard to make whipped cream look like whipped cream.
Oh, it melts instantly. I mean, when you're trying to record splashing, that's a whole other art form. And I think anyone who's ever read an article about food designing, you know, for magazines, like food magazines, will understand the difficulty of this, like that it happens, it changes so quickly, and things melt. And when you're pouring a liquid, and if you don't get the shots, if you're doing video or photos and you don't get the shots, you have to completely dry that person off and make them look
dry again,
look clean again,
right?
Because so that mess them up again. Yeah, I mean, right, and this is another element of the fetish, is this going from clean to dirty, you know, like soiling yourself,
because you can't go back.
That's right. But and yet in the magic of porn and in the magic of sexual fantasy, you can always go back, because the next time you do it, you are unsoiled once more.
Right.
Which is so, I think, for me, the root of so much of my love of sexual labor, sexual fantasy, sexual performance. And it is the same as putting your knee socks on and calling yourself a virgin. Like,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
That it, again, as we were talking about before we started this podcast, totally undoes the belief in the inherentness of the symbol, the inherent meaning of the symbol, that the meaning is not inherent in the symbol. The symbol creates the meaning. We agree on the meaning. We reimagine the meaning. We fucking tear it down, right? And then we put that symbol on again and do it again, you know? Like, that's, to me, much of what has been exciting for me about making pornography for 17 years.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm also reminded of a client at that dungeon that we worked at who was really into just the most obvious, overdetermined kind of humiliation. And I don't say that judgmentally. Like, he wanted to have clown makeup put on him. He wanted to, you might remember, I mean, there was more than one person that fits this description, but he was just one of those ones that, like, he wanted all the ladies.
Yeah.
And he brought wet dog food and ate it, and he wanted to be drawn on with Sharpies, you know, just like stupid slut, you know, blah, blah.
Did they blend together?
Totally. And he, I think he maybe even wanted to be called Fido. It wasn't like a puppy thing. It was just like the, it just, it, yeah. he was like, it was a grab bag humiliation, but also like walking around like a supermarket and being like, what is disgusting or like makes me, what do I have an association with, like, demeaning here, you know? And he once brought 3 key lime pies. And as soon as I saw, and he was somebody else's client. But as soon as I saw that he wanted to be pied in the face, I knew it had to be me. And I was like, please, I beg of you. And I got to do a walk on where he had like 3 ladies in there, and they were like, you know, drawing on him and like humiliating him. And I like kicked open the door. And walked in with the pie, like, you know, like in my hand, like a waitress, just like strode right in my stilettos and stopped in front of him and just smacked him right in the face with the pie. And then just turned on my heel and walked out. And it was
beautiful.
It was this, like, the slapstick of it was so satisfying.
Yeah, and of course, this is, again, where we get into it being really, all of these symbols being really different for everybody, the meanings behind them being different for everybody, and the motivations for doing them being different for everybody. Because for me, a pie in the face is all about Anita Bryant.
Oh, of course.
It is, like, to every, like, I can never disconnect a pie in the face from taking down bigoted politicians. And so that...
Will you tell that story?
Well, Anita Bryant was giving a press conference. And someone, a gay rights activist, pied her in the face out of nowhere. Like, it was a... And then was removed from the room. And I actually can't remember. He shouted something about the fact that she was a bigot. So I don't have all the details of the story because, of course.
Wait, you know what I've just realized?
What?
Is that we need to fight this stupid conversation that's happening right now about whether or not you should punch a Nazi. We need to fight it by just making sure that everyone pies all the Nazis in the face.
Well, here's the thing. When that happened to Anita Bryant, there was the same conversation. People were like, how could you do that? That is so violent. And, you know, the people would say, you're taking the civil rights movement for gay people back. You know, the same thing. It's the same.
Well, okay. But we should still do it. Hey, think of the optics.
I'm so about pieing. Yeah.
I mean... okay, so this is so interesting. I mean, let's fucking talk about the relationship between, or let's compare, like, punching someone in the face to pieing them in the face. Like, first of all, getting punched in the face is not that bad. You recover from it. Like, we've all been through worse.
Yeah.
But getting pied in the face is not, it's not really, like, gonna, like, make you, I mean, you could make someone bleed, you could do some damage, but probably, but, like, it's about reducing someone's status. It's about humiliation.
Well, I think that punching someone is the same. But I also...
But the slapstick and the silliness of the pie...
Something about punching.
Yeah.
Which is that I don't think we can just... say it's not that bad. I don't think we can actually ever say it's not that bad about something like that, like, we can say it's justified, that there are instances in which it's justified, but to say it's not that bad also might say it's not that bad for the cops to punch someone in the face.
You're totally right.
And it is that bad.
It is that bad.
And it is a form of violence, and there are times when punching is right, and there are times when it is awful and totally unjustified. So that's all. That's a side.
I completely agree, and I think that there are times when pieing someone in the face would be awful, and times when it is totally justified.
Agreed. Yeah, and this is all about power. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, every time we talk about these things, we're talking about fighting power, attempting to equalize, you know, power that is not evenly distributed.
But one other thing that, now that we are like talking about the element of splashing that involves like movement and doing something to someone which like can escalate into violence, like and folding in the pie thing, like, part of what you're weaponizing when you're pieing someone in the face is humor and silliness. Like, it's not just that it's less likely to damage you, it's that it is, and like, the glee that I took in it and the glee that I'm hearing from you also about, like imagining like a splashing scene is like, that part of what you're either like weaponizing or like incorporating into the sexiness is silliness.
And that's such an important part of the sexual repertoire that a lot of people are afraid to invite in. I think because romantic comedies so frequently make every sexual interaction deadly serious. Not just romantic comedies, but so much of what we're taught about sex is that it is deadly serious, and that it is, and actually that word deadly is not even hyperbole.
Right.
We are children of the 80s and 90s.
Right. Yeah. Sex can kill you.
And that is the lesson that they needed to drill into your head every day.
They still are.
And they
it.
Still do. They still do. And I think that that's another piece of work that is really important to me is separating sex from death, but also separating queer sex, especially.
Of course.
Right? And building a world in which recognizing that you're queer does not subject you to a lifetime of associating sex with death, because that is the reality for our generation. And it fucking sucks.
Agreed.
So yeah, just take it there.
So silliness
is a form of resistance to that.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the thing. We can start to talk about every fetish, and for me, it will always come back to something that has to do with a very real construct that I am fighting against so much of my sexual life. Once I get into it, has to do with resistance.
What more is there to say?
Oh man, I laughed into the microphone again.
It's okay. If somebody wants to get into splashing, either as a form of resistance or because
I have so many,
it sounds fun,
so much advice.
Oh my god, please hit us with the splashing advice.
If you or the person that you want to play with has a vagina or any type of genitalia that is prone to yeast infections, please never put food on or near their genitalia. That is the number one most important rule of splashing.
Agreed.
That being said, people break that rule all the time.
Sure.
Because they get excited and because a yeast infection is not the worst it's not consequence.
A yeast infection is not HIV.
Yeah, let's like really, every time we talk about sexual health, let's be really real about scale.
Yeah. And risk. And making risk aware assessments. Like,
exactly.
You might have a really fucking fun time and get a yeast infection, and then you deal with a yeast infection. It's fine. And you're not tainted. You're not broken. Yeah. You might be out of commission for a sec. Like, if you're a sex worker, like, you might have to take a break from work. But
you have to, decide for yourself what risks are worth taking.
Don't let anybody else decide for you.
But there are ways to avoid that if you would like to. For example, one of my favorite splashing substances.
Materials
is Jell-O.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so easy to get in sugar-free.
Oh, yeah.
And sugar,
and
of course,
affordable.
Yeah, and affordable. Also, they make Jell-O for... So if you're making splashing porn, in which you need tons and tons of Jell-O, not that I am speaking from experience, of creating a candy-themed, splashing, foot-themed porn with a... pool full of Jell-O. You can get wrestling Jell-O that is specially made.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
It is awesome.
Where do you buy wrestling Jell-O?
On the internet. The magical, magical internet.
Okay. So it's sugar-free.
Yeah.
Easy to make in big batches. Yeah. You're not ending up with like tearing up like 100 little...
Boiling. You don't have to boil water. Yeah. Whoa. It's just like add water. So that's very cool.
That's kind of has like a mad scientist element to it as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are so many things though, like to be wary of. One is sugar near your junk. Another is, people are celiac.
Oh yeah.
And that is also something to consider.
Yeah.
if you are playing with someone, that just because you're not putting it in your mouth.
Right.
Doesn't mean, you know, also people are lactose intolerant.
Totally.
And if you are, especially if you're doing any kind of sometimes splashing veers into enema play for some people, sometimes those overlap. You don't want to put anything in your butthole that you're allergic to if you put it in your mouth hole.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, now I just want to talk about enemas. Let's keep it on the outside.
Okay,
yeah.
Keep going. Yeah.
cool. What are some other things
materials to consider?
More tips
to consider is you just might want to play in your bathtub and, for easier cleanup. And if you are going to play in your bathtub, if you're going to use anything like spaghetti or anything that is not purely liquid, or even things like whipped cream that are very fat
soluble,
right? Yeah, like, so fat can harden in your drain, right? So if you're
tell me about it, honey.
Yeah. So if you're gonna play with these kinds of things, you know, have a filter over your drain.
Sure.
You know, things like this.
Yeah. Or follow it up with some Drano.
You know, try not to clog your drains while you're splashing.
Okay. Yeah.
When you're going to get out of the tub, you're going to want to step on a sheet of plastic. You know, get yourself a tarp.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. But this is advanced. This is advanced level. Like, probably the beginner who's just going to be playing at home, it's okay if you're just on your bed and you want to put a towel down and you want to like squirt some Ready Whip on each other and rub it around and lick it off.
So here's the last thing that I want to ask you is, I'm always really fascinated when I start to get into like more extreme kink details. And a lot of the time something will come up that has a like a very common, corny, cliche manifestation, and like the whipped cream, like spice up your marriage by like putting whipped cream on her body thing, is like, speaking of Cosmo, like that's the like answering the door in a saran wrap dress, you know, take off your panties
at saran wrap dress, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see you rocking a saran wrap dress.
I've been a live sushi tray while wearing a saran wrap dress. Anyway, that's a side
note.
That's
cool. Yeah.
But squishing body parts against something clear is the excitement for me about the Saran Wrap dress. That's your 30 seconds. Mm. Why are people into that?
Cool. I mean, I think that's related. The like squishing. There's something about, I mean, splashing is actually quite a nice onomatopoeia. Like it really like describes it. It is what it sounds like it is what it is describing. But there's like a kinetic element to it. There's like movement. There's which is why we like got started like talking about violence so quickly, right? Like there's collision, but also like so sometimes the collision is like ballistic force, but sometimes it's just like smushing and sliding and slipping and I will say I have this like aversion to food fights that is totally like based on like there's children starving like but you already touched on like the indulgence and the decadence of
The whole thing. And also I'm gonna tell you this is not something I do every day.
No,
because I also have not just an aversion to imaginary starving people or like the Sally Struthers version.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
To the actual fact that 40% of food in this country is thrown in the garbage.
Right.
Which is disgusting.
Right. And dumpsters are locked up so people can't get to it.
And grocery stores won't donate their not even rotten food.
Right.
Their food that is past an expiration date that's made up by the company in order to move the food more quickly. Like,
right. To make more units. Yeah. Yes.
So
it's real.
It's real. Yeah.
It's it's interesting because it's like splashing is not actually that like expensive of a fetish to indulge.
But the value
of like what you might be wasting is just greater than like the dollars and cents that you may have spent on your gear.
Yes. And also let's talk about the fact that splashing is not why 40% of food is being wasted.
Right.
So, and splashing as a performance and splashing as a fetish that you might occasionally do in your home is like having a conversation about the food that's being wasted. Like, you know, it's like creating a work of art about the food that's being wasted.
It's attention to the... Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not trying to say that me and my partner rubbing food on each other does something good for the world necessarily.
But like first do no harm, right? Like
yeah.
Like that it's not or that it could, I mean.
But I want to give some scale to this. I want to say that when we talk about food being wasted, it's not because people are splashing.
And if you believe, as I do, that playing with things that we have anxiety around and exploring them in a sexual context is a way to understand them better, then splashing could be actually a good tool for understanding like why food is wasted.
That's what I mean when I say it's like having a conversation about it or creating a work of art about it. Like we also journal. And we use paper to do that.
Right.
And perhaps that could be considered a self-indulgent act or a wasteful act or a environmentally negligent act. But I believe that the value of it makes us better able to do the work of fighting those larger problems in the world.
Agreed. But also it just kind of like is fun to throw pies in each other's faces.
And it's okay for things to just be fun.
True.
Too. And yet I never, the things that I come back to, the things that are fun for me, I can never separate them from the real, very serious parts of me and what motivates me. I can never do that. I can never not in the end be serious. I'm serious right now. I don't know. This is a thing.
It's a thing I love. Okay. Well, we've solved that. We've solved that, and we have another subject to get to. So let's move on to financial domination. Are you ready for that?
Totally.
Won't fill the holes of my mind. The things I'm dreaming of from my station. A vacation, new locations. Oh.
Interrobang is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Our theme music is by my brother from another mother, Moot. Thanks for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.